Hello, Ruben.
Hi, Weichun. How are you?
I'm good.
I saw you today in the office.
I also saw you today, and I'm seeing you now in the office. This is the office.
Yes.
What a very existential thing to say.
Yes.
But anyway,
yep.
Today we're going to react to something that kind of happened on Facebook that has a lot of people up in arms, and I think it's something that we kind of talk about. And our comic coming out this week also kind of talks about this, you know, which is like generational differences in approach to life and philosophy and how to live life and how to work.
Sure. Right?
So what happened was that recently, right, somebody on Facebook, I think this person has his own company. I don't think I should say what the company does, and I'm not very familiar also, but basically this person is an employer and he's hiring somebody. So he made a post, right, where he detailed a conversation that he had with a potential, I think there's an internship, where he wanted to hire this student, right? So the conversation reads, "Hey, I'll see you tomorrow at 3:30 p.m. at 1 Commonwealth Lane, blah, 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 blah," the address, right? The person goes, "See you soon." So around 20 minutes later, the potential hire, the student, goes, "Hey, Jeffrey, is it possible to have a virtual meeting instead?" Upon which Jeffrey, 5 minutes later, replies, "Don't think so. It's okay if you don't want to come down." And then 3 minutes later, Jeffrey goes, "On second thoughts, I think let's cancel the interview. All the best." So this happened, right?
Mm.
I think this is still like, there are a lot of things we can talk about already. But then on top of this, right, Jeffrey then goes on Facebook. He posts a screenshot of this conversation with the following caption.
Yes.
He says, "Call me a boomer, but I seriously think our future is fucked. Decided to take the time to interview this student tomorrow. Gave her the benefit of the doubt because she actually left her internship company after working for just one day, claiming that the environment was toxic and is now looking for a new internship company. 19 minutes after agreeing to come down for an interview without giving any reason, she probably figured that a virtual meeting works fine too. Sarah is the very reason why I absolutely welcome foreigners who are hungry and hardworking to work here. Fuck all these rules and laws protecting entitled Singaporeans." Yeah.
That was probably not the best thing to post online.
Yeah, I mean, as a foreigner, right?
Yes, yes.
I'm from Malaysia, right? I'm a Malaysian PR working and living in Singapore. When I saw that last part, my immediate reaction was, uh-oh, because I knew that this probably would go viral. Mm. It's the, you know, the Simpsons meme, there's this kid who always gets bullied.
Yeah.
And then he goes like, "I'm in danger." That was
it. Is pretty good. That's pretty good.
That's my reaction when I read it. I'm like, uh-oh, shit's about to go down. What were your thoughts on it when this first came out?
Well, I mean, at first, the first time I saw it, it had like maybe 32 shares.
Oh, you saw it that early?
Yeah.
So I think when I was like 100 plus, I saw it. Yeah.
So I was like, it's probably a SME owner being angry. It happens all the time. But then I did feel like the response was a bit intense, right? Because...
But which response? The convo one or... The one he posts.
No. The convo, yeah. So I actually felt
the convo also, yeah, you feel extreme.
The reply to her, to Sarah's message,
yeah,
I think was a bit intense, you know.
Yeah.
Usually, when someone says, oh, they can't come for an interview, I would think like most people would say something like, oh, okay, no worries, let's not do the interview.
Yeah, or... It's very important that you see the office, that you see our operations. So if cannot, we reschedule.
Or maybe something like, "Oh, I think it's better if you come down, because you know I prefer to meet people."
Yeah. So if this day cannot, this day cannot, right? Something like that.
Yeah.
Right.
No, I mean, I don't think Jeffrey needs to give this person an opportunity if he doesn't want to.
Yeah, absolutely.
But doesn't he reply like in a angry manner, lah?
But not very angry, right? He said like all the best.
I mean, this is like fuck you, fuck your mother, all the best.
He didn't say fuck you, fuck your mother. He said, okay, I mean, I think it's pego, right? But
it is,
I mean,
pego,
clearly, just based on the words, it's okay. But like, you clearly see the context. He is not happy on that, right?
Of course.
Right.
Yeah. So I think that could have been handled better. I think the other thing that he might not want to have done is to have posted it online. So I think if this was just a private conversation and then like you leave it in the phone where it remain until the world ends, I think that's fine.
But what if he posted it without any... without the caption so fierce, lah.
Yeah.
Because I think the last paragraph really just swung it, like,
yeah,
to another level, you know?
Well...
Because I actually feel like this is okay. I feel like the convo in itself, it's okay for employer to go, "Look, I don't like your attitude. This is me qualifying my leads, essentially."
Yeah.
Like, you qualify a customer, you're qualifying your potential hire.
Mm.
I do think, like, in terms of a younger person's perspective, they'll probably go like, "Walao, eh, this boomer," you know, kind of thing.
Mm.
But they, as a person who is choosing,
yeah,
who is the supplier?
Mm.
Is it a supplier?
No.
It's the demander, right?
No one the uses supply comes words like the demander. Okay, I'm just say employer again.
Okay, employer. Yeah. I was gonna say demandee and demander. Okay. But yeah, so he is choosing. He's the one that has the choice.
Sure.
He gets to do this. It's a bit like, you know, Elon Musk sent a memo saying like all Tesla employees must spend 40 hours at work every week physically.
Yeah.
If you don't want to do that, don't work here.
Mm.
But of course, that's very different because he's saying that as a way of like, he put out an email, it is upfront, not like when he's questioned then.
Mm.
You know, he said, "I don't like this, cannot like that."
Yeah.
Like that. He said it very clear. Yeah. And I think that's fine, right? I just think like the foreigner just to say F all your Singaporeans on that. Wow, that just brought it.
So maybe we classify it to like the levels of stuff he could have done.
Yeah.
So I think you and I agree.
Yeah.
Leave in the phone, don't show anyone, that's okay, right?
That's okay.
Maybe a bit curt.
Yeah, a bit curt.
Yeah, I mean probably maybe a bad day or something. It happens.
Yeah, it happens. Right? Yeah.
So that's okay.
She'll show her friends, like, "Hey, look at this."
Yeah.
She'll show his friends, like, "Hey, look at this young person."
Yeah. Second level
of escalation, yeah.
You post online, no caption.
Yeah.
What do you feel about that?
That might be even more insidious because, like, you put it there without saying, but it's very clear why you post it, like, because otherwise it might just be a regular conversation.
Mm.
You clearly think this is something of significance, right?
Mm.
But I feel like the best way or, like, the most reasonable way, in my opinion, and Facebook also not the best way to do this. Like, maybe you put on LinkedIn and you put it as a question. Like, I feel like when I was having this conversation, I felt like this wasn't the right person. As a result, I qualified this lead that way. What do y'all think? Like, is this too much?
Like,
you know?
Did I do something wrong?
Yeah. Agree? Question mark. Which they love to do on LinkedIn, right?
Yeah. So I think for the second level, post online and don't put caption.
Yeah.
I think, yeah, maybe got some room
or don't put aggro caption.
Some room for discussion, right? Yeah. Whether or not it's a
discussion, yeah. It's not a statement of, yeah.
Yeah, but I think what he did, which was to post and then with the caption, I think maybe a few things I would have done is like, I probably not generalize like,
say Singaporeans like, as a whole.
Yeah,
no?
Yeah,
as a foreigner also, I don't hear that. Like, I'm like, "Oh shit, dude, like, please."
Yeah. So I think that's one thing I would not have done.
But I feel like, right, okay, let's just go back to the convo first. I feel also on her part, right, one thing she could have done was to say why.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, that day, I am so sorry. It slipped my mind. There's something else. You know, I'm so sorry. Show contrition.
Be like,
be contract, right?
For example, even something like, "Oh, my hamster."
Yeah, go to the vet. Yeah, it's always my problem. My hamster got a lot of problems.
Or like, if it's a valid excuse, I feel like most reasonable people would understand.
Yeah. Or just go like, "Actually, I feel like virtual can. Is there a reason?" I mean, that really seems a bit aggro, like, you know, like, can we do like a virtual one if it's not too much trouble? Because I think for this stage of the interview, we might just give another thing rather than just saying, "Actually, virtual can or not?"
Because I've been taking like some philosophy online Coursera thing.
Wow.
They always say like, always assume the best of people.
So
what I'm trying to do is to have a portion for both Jeffrey and Sarah, you know, in their defense.
Yep.
So I wanted to say like, in Jeffrey's defense first.
In Jeffrey's defense.
Yeah, you know, everyone has bad days, right? Mm. Sometimes when you do meet a lot of people, after dealing with like many bad people in a row, you finally meet the last one, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back.
Yeah, true.
And from that perspective, yeah, I can empathize with him. I don't agree what he did, but I feel like even the best of us, these things can happen.
Especially
if you don't have like someone always like reminding you like, "Hey, don't post stupid shit online."
Yeah.
I mean, everyone has posted stupid shit online at some point.
Yeah.
They're just not viral enough to get the traction that Jeffrey has.
Yeah.
And now I wanted to like also defend Sarah a little bit.
Yeah.
Right. I think when you are young, you just do not know these things. They don't always come naturally.
Yeah, she's a student, right?
Sometimes you're a student, sometimes you're awkward. I mean, I remember being very awkward when I was young. So I will actually, there are a few times I go for an interview and I didn't do research on the company.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I was young. The interviewer was quite nice about it.
Yeah.
He just told me, "Oh, next time, you know, when you come, please read out about the company.
Yeah.
This is expected of you as an adult." I mean, obviously it sucked to hear this as
But it helped you so much that somebody told you.
Yeah,
that.
But I always went out to rant about the company after that. Mm. So I feel like some some degree of like flex should be given to Sarah as well.
Mm-hmm. But I also think on Jeffrey's side, not just to give due credit to him, but perhaps to also give due credit to her in the same note. He already had this thing in his mind that she had this like seemingly toxic thing which happened only after one day in a job. I think it could be possible that the job is so damn bad, the environment, that after one day she can really sense that this is a toxic place. But I also think like maybe he had deep suspicions about that. I think like the nature of how jobs are and our tenures are very different now. So for somebody who's from an older generation, I don't know how old Jeffrey Cole is, but he said he's boomer. So somebody from an older generation might have very different norms or standard when it comes to what is a normal tenure to have. And one day is very short, I mean, honestly. But maybe it's so bad or she saw something or she could choose in some way, you know. Also, to give due credit to her, also, like, this is the norm that they work with. La. So maybe it really was very bad, Sarah, but... You know, when that is on your resume, it really doesn't look good.
Actually, if it's one day, I just don't put on your resume.
Yeah, just don't put. Yeah.
But I think sometimes toxic people use the excuse of toxic workplace.
To
kind of like, oh, I'm not toxic. The workplace
could be,
is toxic.
Could be.
You go to like 5 or 6 of this workplace, and they are all toxic. But
in this case, it's you already.
But then you are the okay one.
But we don't know how many places Sarah.
Yeah, so of course, this is not about Sarah.
But yeah,
I'm just saying, sometimes like this happens, and maybe Jeffrey maybe thought that Sarah was one of those people. You know what I mean?
You do
something, you don't like it, you call it toxic.
Yeah, I also feel like the word toxic has a lot of connotations, and also at the same time quite general. I feel like if there's some issue with the workplace, right? And you are talking to a potential employer about it, you should be more descriptive.
Specific.
So what is the toxicity? Is it that people talk behind their back? Is it that I came in the first day, then people start gossiping with me already? Is it that I feel like when I try to suggest changes to higher up in problems that I see, they don't... So what is that toxicity? Be more specific. That will help me to understand.
Yep.
And also help to qualify a lead for you, because you could go like, actually our organization... might have the same kind of nature of the previous one, so we might not be able to help you in this way because we have the same attribute as your previous company. So it also helps. Don't just say toxic, because toxic is so loaded with connotation. Yep. It's very hard to
imagine
think about it from a business or management point of view where a lot of problems actually come from. Toxic is just bad. There's no positive toxicity, right?
Yeah. Is there?
Yeah.
There's toxic positivity. But there's no good... Toxicity.
Good toxicity, yeah.
Well done.
But also like, I mean I don't mean to CSI, but I mean I scroll his profile a bit as well.
Yeah.
It also seems like Jeffrey Cole, quite refreshingly, is like he don't care one. It seems like that Like you see his wall, like he own his own business. He like his sculpture that he make seeming. I think his sculpture that he, like middle finger all that kind. So
yes.
I also think like if you can afford to be uncancelable and be extremely frank. And your business can take it, then also okay to say what you want, right? I would just draw the line at the fuck all Singaporeans and
the
all that stuff. Yeah, the generalization. That I just feel like you hide.
Did he say fuck all Singaporeans? No, right? Since we're on the
he didn't,
generalizing topic.
Okay, yeah.
So
let's look at what they said, right? Okay. Fuck all the rules and laws protecting entitled Singaporeans. Okay, so fair enough.
He did qualify.
He qualify
that
these
entitled basically he didn't like to protect entitled Singaporeans.
Yep. So I guess it's not lumping everybody in there.
Yeah.
But I also feel like given the climate of like the tension around like immigration and like foreigners coming here, commanding high salaries, stealing jobs, that kind of thing, like this does not make the situation any better. You know. I also feel like there's a bigger issue here that this has sort of flagged up, which is the and this happens in every generation, right? The disconnect between the incumbent generation and the next generation in terms of what is a working norm. And in this case, it's a bit of a slippery slope kind of interpretation, I feel, because it's like from one or two observations of this person being a bit flaky and in this case like indicating an interest or preference for virtual over a solid meeting. And also to give Jeffrey Cole some credit that she agreed to the physical one first. Mm. But she also very quickly said, actually, can we just... Yeah. I feel like this, then to show that this is a person who has no commitment or is a bit flaky or doesn't yep. respect like the kind of values that I might respect, might be a bit far, I feel.
Because there could be something worse that Sarah actually did. Sarah can say, promise you'll go, then you don't show up.
Yeah.
I think there's one level even lower than that.
Or like an hour before, say actually something came up. That's worse, right? Yeah. This is suddenly, she texted it like a few minutes after she posted the first message, which is okay to us, you know. But I also think we have some content about that, and I think we bridge this too. We are about in our early 30s, so we bridge sort of the 40s, 50s and the sort of 20s, you know.
We try that, yeah.
We are old but not that old.
Yes.
We are not young anymore, but some people might call us young men also, you know.
Okay.
So why do you say okay?
I don't know, it just hurts to listen to you utter those statements.
But it's true though. Yeah. 32 going on 33 already, right?
You gotta
face it.
Yeah, just get on with your conversation.
It's coming. Yeah. So I think we can sort of put this together and help people have some perspective. Because I also think like with things like Zoom or new technological solutions for doing business, it's like, let's say Zoom has been around for 5 years. To a 23-year-old who entered the workforce at 18, right? Basically to them, right, Zoom has been around the entire time of their working world. But if you take, say, a boomer who's like 40 plus 50, Zoom only came around in a small, recent...
Like a fraction of
the...
A
blip, time, you know. It's so you also have to understand that these disconnects will happen and to also take the time to give chance a bit, you know, or clarify things and not jump the gun. Because, I mean, honestly, also, I say all this, but I feel like Jeffrey Crow does have the prerogative to say it because he's the employer here. He gets to choose, right? But the potential cost that he might incur is that he will not get access to otherwise good talents that might take an interview to move past the first few qualities he might not like.
Mm.
But I guess he's able to fill his slots that he needs to fill, you know, so maybe it's not a business problem for him. Do you think like it is very unrealistic for the younger generation to expect everything to be remote and to do everything virtually or have a preference for virtual communication?
I think it's okay to have a preference for virtual communications.
Yeah.
But ultimately, the jobs that usually pay more are usually those jobs that we call high trust. Jobs that require like a high degree of trust tend to pay more. For example, like let's say I want to... No, how should I say?
If I work on like government defense contracts, I'm sure that job highly paid.
So for example, if I work at Lockheed Martin.
Yeah.
You know, I must first come into the interview.
Mm.
Interview at Lockheed Martin, then get the job there. You would not, let's say, give the job to someone without coming down, without knowing the person.
Mm.
If the person was... Okay, let's say the person is based very far away in, let's say, Chile.
Yeah.
You haven't met the person before.
Yep.
Most likely, you will not hire the person for the job.
Right.
I think trust is a very important thing that people need to realize is integral to the workplace.
Mm.
And without trust, the chances are the jobs that you get will not be as high paying.
Mm.
For example, you know, last time, even before COVID, these jobs existed, very remote jobs.
Mm.
What is it? It's data entry. Data entry, or you write like a simple blog post on an article.
Telemarketing.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like a normal SEO writer, maybe it's like 100 to 500 per article. Not exactly low, but also like not the level of remuneration that can support what a young Singaporean wants for their lifestyle. For example, that a young Singaporean, let's say I want to be paid at least $4,000 to $6,000 for the work that I do.
You got
to
telemarket the shit out of telemarketing to get that.
If you want to do like a low trust job, that's going to be very challenging.
That's true. Right.
So I think that
So face-to-face, in a way, is a way of enforcing that trust. High trustness. Because I'm showing up physically, right?
Yes, because, I mean, in spite of all the advancement in, like, Zoom technology and video conferences or whatnot, there is still something about physical communication that is quite irreplaceable.
Yeah.
And that's also the reason why some companies still ask people to come back.
Mm.
And look, I think it's fair if you want to, you know what, stay at home. You want to do remote work. But I think you also have to respect the employer's choice to be able to ask people to come back.
To create the kind of work environment and culture that
they feel works best for them.
Right.
So I don't think it's wrong. And I think it's great if people find a way to build trust without having to meet in person or come to the office. Mm. But I don't think it is something that comes naturally and immediately. Mm. So I think you come to the office first, build trust, then you do remote work. It's not remote all the way.
Yeah, yeah. I think also depends on where you are. Because in this situation, I'm assuming Sarah's in Singapore, Jeffrey's in Singapore. So the barrier of showing up in person is not as high as like somebody who's in Chile interviewing for a position in Singapore. And then you do all that logistics later. So it's just not convenient or cost-effective to fly somebody over, just do face-to-face. Yeah.
And right? I think from the employer's point of view, yeah. like for example, if you don't want to come to the office,
yeah.
then you're same as the person as in Chile. Lah. Then why not I just hire the Chile person?
Yeah, yeah, that's
so
true. Yeah.
That's from the employer's
point. So your competitive pool, right? Like also as a young person, if you want to get a job here, if you insist on working on a remote basis, what you're also kind of doing, I think, is you're widening your pool of competition because you are not enforcing one advantage which you can have, which is the ability to show up physically. Mm. Not that it always counts, but it does count for some things more than other things. Like for us, I think it's more of a secondary thing, but we show up at work like 4 days out of 5 working days. And it's not like directly because it's easier for us to talk about the changes. It is, but more, I feel like it's always about us talking, to be in the same space together. Mm. And then that's where our ideas for our comics come from, through these conversations. Mm. So that's the real reason why we show up. And then we might tweak the ratio next time. But for now, like 4 days out of 5 works for us.
Yeah.
And we do treasure it. For actually, we were a company that started off extremely remotely. Right, when we even when we quit our jobs to do this full time, we didn't have office.
Because of COVID.
Yeah, yeah. COVID also, right? But the office came later.
Yeah.
You know?
Lack okay, so hunger. Jeffrey also said, like, do you think Singaporeans, young Singaporeans lack hunger? Hunger.
Yeah. I think so, yes. But maybe lack is not a good word. It is that compared to your regional neighbors who are now increasingly becoming more right, your competition, you have less hunger. Mm. Hunger doesn't necessarily mean good because hunger doesn't always directly translate to quality.
Exactly.
Hunger just means that I'm able to withstand more suffering. Mm. I'm able to do the same thing for less money because I need it more. Not necessarily translating to a higher quality of service.
Yeah, so hunger doesn't always translate to productivity.
Yep.
It's like during the process where hunger goes through you, it comes out like maybe only 40% productivity.
Sometimes it does, but also sometimes, like, a lot of times, like, my always number one disappointment after graduating college is to realize that actually in terms of art and animation, right, quality is oftentimes not a primary factor for businesses. You are there for efficiency.
And productivity, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I have had a friend, for example, who was working in animation studio and she constantly gets scolded because her quality too high. She animated the scenes too nicely, so she take longer than other people, and also it makes the other shots look bad and the scene will not have continuity because it's like standard animation, then suddenly the finger all flow beautiful, then back to standard animation. So back to hunger, I say that because I also don't want to I don't want Singaporeans to feel like, hey, you're saying I'm not hungry, like it's a bad thing. Not necessarily, but it means that you might be out-competed more easily. So as a foreigner, I do feel that way, but my basis for hunger is different from y'all
because
I grew up somewhere else,
I see.
Do you think
baseline for hunger?
My baseline for hunger is different. Okay. Yeah. Do you think Singaporeans are less hungry?
I feel that, yes, Singaporeans are less hungry, but hunger is only one of the multiple attributes.
Yeah, the facets that make up a jewel of a person.
Someone like a valuable hire. If you don't have hunger, then be very good at your job.
Yeah.
You know, have skills that are valued by the global marketplace. That's how you make up for the lack of hunger.
Yeah.
Hunger to me is like the easiest thing that someone can have. Okay, like, let's say I start out in life with no skills, nothing. I really want it.
Yeah, but what you do with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So
it can be a great multiplier.
Yeah.
But it still needs to multiply something positive.
Exactly. So in an ideal world, I have hunger, I have skills.
Yeah.
I know how to network and how to public speak, everything. Yeah. Just put all together. And then that's the best version of myself.
Yeah.
But I think when human beings tend to become more prosperous,
it
is natural for hunger to subside. Because
I think so too.
Because
yeah.
more needs are fulfilled.
Yeah, yeah.
It is a problem when you have less hunger,
and
then you never upskill in other areas.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think it's starting to become a bit of an issue as other countries start to pick up some of the things that we can, that only Singaporeans used to be able to do. For example, speak fluent English or be both bilingual. So I think it could prove like to be our undoing in the future. But I mean, we have lots of resources. Yeah. We still have time to, you know,
to turn things around or use what you have. Because I also think like the other side of the coin when it comes to hunger is being discerning. And at some point when you level up, when you get better and better at what you do, right, you have to not say turn off hunger, right, but be able to qualify your leads and choose the jobs that you do because you don't have unlimited time unless you scale. But even if you scale your company, if you are that good, right, and jobs keep coming, you can't take on everything. So you can't be hungry indefinitely also.
Yeah.
And as you get better, you might find that, like you said, the hunger will subside.
Yeah.
And what will come is discernment. But you cannot have discernment when you don't have the skills.
Mm.
If you are discerning about the kind of jobs that you want, I want this one, I want that one, when you don't match the market like demand for it, you will be in huge trouble.
Yeah.
So make sure like you have to be very aware of who you are and what your value is on the marketplace before you start demanding things that are outside of your ability to demand.
Mm.
Yeah. Not saying don't demand, just be good enough to demand it.
Yeah, I think it's also interesting that when you don't have a lot of resources, hunger is a good thing. But after you have a lot, the name for hunger actually changes, and you hear a lot of people talk about it. You know, it's called it's called scarcity mindset.
What scarcity mindset?
Scarcity mindset where you think like, oh, there's constant lack of things, so you overwork, so you tend to be very stressed, have a lot of burnout. Yeah, yeah. I think that is the downside of hunger that we don't see.
That's true. Also,
So
naturally, I think as Singapore becomes more prosperous, and it gives the people in Singapore the ability to be more discerning.
Mm.
And I think that also reflects it based on the kind of industry that Singapore focuses on. It used to be much more like industrial, manufacturing, then maybe go into engineering, then now like more like tech and
services based,
High tech, like manufacturing, like really high level, refineries, financial services and things like that. So I also think like hunger translates differently across these kind of different industries, you know. And it's actually a good thing that Singaporeans are able to choose and to know how to triage, like, and to prioritize and to turn some things down. Yeah, but again, to repeat myself, like, don't do that when you don't have the ability to do so. Yeah.
I think can already. You want to do the last podcasting?
Yeah, thanks very much for watching this. This might possibly be the last video that we ever do, because whenever when we started this thing, people say, I want to do personal finance. How many things can you talk about? So maybe this is the last thing we'll ever talk about. If that's the case, thank you for supporting our channel. It's been a great run. But if there's something you want to hear us talk about, put in the comments, and then maybe you've got more videos to come.
Yes.
But until then, farewell. Thank you for the wonderful ride.
And all the best.
All the best.
Yes. Tomorrow don't need to come.
Yeah.